And Noah began to be a husbandman. And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken and was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. Now, Canaan isn't the younger son. Ham is the younger son. Canaan is his son. Cursed be Canaan, servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Well, from verse 20 through verse 28, or verse 27, there's a whole scenario, a whole drama that's going on and being unfolded. Let's see if we can discern what's going on. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's read the appropriate Haftarah. Go to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, start in verse 8, and we'll go to verse 13, and I'm not going to, I want you to read at your own time. No, let's go, we'll do it. Listen, O isles, and start in verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Now,
who's this talking?
Huh?
Who's this speaking?
You are. Christ is. If God has called you from the womb, that means that even your genetic makeup has not been accidental. It obviously means nothing in your environment has been accidental. In other words, nothing that has taken place in your past has been accidental. Everything that is exact, everything that happened has been God's arrangement to get you to this point. If he's called you from his womb, that's what that means. There's nothing that was an accident.
Now, I don't understand when you say he called you from the womb. I mean, does he not call everyone from the womb?
No.
So these are like, would you call them special people? I mean, people like Noah and...
Like you. Chosen. Everyone has a chance to be called, but everyone isn't called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. Now that's obviously, it's speaking of, it's written by the Spirit of Christ in Isaiah, for Christ after the flesh, for Christ in you. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. If you're an arrow or a shaft hidden in a quiver, that means you're to be shot someplace. That means you have something is to be done with you. You're not just supposed to hang around. And he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. You feel like that? You're supposed to feel like that. Yet surely, in other words, in spite of that judgment, In spite of the fact that I've perceived that I've walked in vanity and I've spent my strength for nothing, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. In other words, I am not going to pay any attention to what it looks like by my understanding. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And thus say, and that's the reason that, and that's what happened at Pentecost. He's saying this just before Pentecost. We're in Genesis 9. Pentecost is Genesis 11. And right after Pentecost comes Genesis 12, which means what? Genesis 12 is the life of Abraham, the chosen one. But the second year, on Pentecost is Exodus 20. The law is given on Pentecost in the second of the three-year cycle. The next thing that happens after the law is given is the tabernacle or the temple is built and furnished. The third thing that happens on the three-year cycle of reading on Pentecost is the rebellion of Korah. And immediately following Pentecost is the forever sure provisions for the priests and Levites. In the New Testament on Pentecost, and then followed the New Testament Pentecost was the book of Acts. They turned the world upside down. We just had our Pentecost. I believe it was a real Pentecost this time. I believe people saw and understood what was taking place. Now we will have the book of Acts in the 20th century. Okay? I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles. We are a light. He was a light to us. Now, he is our light. He is our life. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One to whom man despiseth. Remember we talked last time we met? Nothing in the universe looks like it's supposed to by your definition of what God should be. This man, Isaiah, who was moved by the Holy Spirit to write these words, says that man will despise that which is the Savior being revealed unto him. To whom man despiseth. Harry, I'm sure she wants me to move the, okay. Can you pull it? Is she going to be gone for good? If she's going to be gone, just pull it back up. If she's not, we'll park it someplace. To him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth. If you accept the fact that they're talking about Christ, to whom man despiseth and to whom the nation abhorreth, that means that you're never going to be able to define Jesus Christ. Any attempt that you or man makes to define him will cause only to be something that's other than Christ, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. The best concept that you can have of Jesus Christ, you will make him the instead of Christ. The best that you can define what Christ will do in your life tomorrow will be the Antichrist's work in your life tomorrow. You understand me?
That's the fruit of all our attempts to define.
Man despises, and the groups of men abhor. To a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes shall also worship. Because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Now the verses 8 through 13 are the readings that were read. Okay? For this exact time, by Christ and his disciples. Christ was saying, when they were reading this, they're talking about me, guys. Disciples are saying, sure.
Right. Talking about who?
Me.
Jesus Christ was the ultimate egotist. He was saying, as they were studying this, these scriptures that testify of me.
Wow. Yeah, but we do that too. And tell us, bring up Christ in you and we go.
Sure. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee, give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Yes. What do you do in a pasture?
Eat.
Lay around, take it easy. Eat. You want. Enjoy.
And you eat. Yes. Your high places shall be your pasture.
Like we're always jumping on high places, like they're achy.
Well, but they're to be transformed.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's always pissing me. He's just like, don't do that because you're taking control.
Yeah, that or whatever the myriad of things that may come up. That's wild. But there would be sustenance in that place.
That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth; to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Now, this is the, you understand? Listen, what's happened? Noah hasn't been in the ark with these eight guys, eight people, and all these ugly, smelly animals. They've been tossed to and fro, and they finally rested, and now finally they see land and are sitting there. And this is what's being read by the Spirit to them and to us as we've left the old under the water. Now this is our revelation of the new that comes from the fact of stepping out of the ark of Christ. Amen? They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he hath mercy on them. He that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and from the land of Sinan. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Now, that's the predicate for the post-Pentecost experience. Shem, the word Shem in the Hebrew means name or honor. He's the middle son, but he's always mentioned first because through him, Messiah would come.
Shem.
Now, the Shemites or Semites are it's interesting. The modern population in the Middle East are the Jews there are not from the sons of Shem. They are from the sons of Japheth because they were the Khazars from northern Europe. The only sons of Shem that are in the Middle East right now are the Palestinians.
God, that's a sense of humor.
No, tell me that isn't weird.
Yeah, that's unreal. The sons of Japheth are the Palestinians or sons of Shem?
No, no, the sons of Shem, the name or honor, are the Palestinians.
Because they're really Semites.
They're really Semites. They have a far greater right to be in the land than the modern Jews do. I mean, the Jews keep using this, yeah, because all these Jews got, the Jew guys just came from Northern Europe. Huh?
Chicago.
Bernie. Okay, Japheth in the Hebrew is yet, well, I mean, Ham is Chaim, Ham, C-H-A-M. What? Jews came from Japheth, but not the original Jews, not Christ. Christ came from Shem. But remember, the last pure blood Jew died about 1000 A.D.
Who was that?
What?
Who was it?
A guy named Murray.
No,
I thought
it was not a direct name.
No, his name was Murray.
Right. His name
was Murray.
And he lived in Spain.
He was a disc jockey in New York.
He was a tailor.
Murray the K.
Murray the K.
Okay, now, the three, I mean, you got to, everything that's in the world came from these three guys. You got to, I mean, start paying attention here.
Okay. What verse are we on?
We're right now on verse 18.
Okay,
that was a rabbi chanting closer.
The word Ham is the Hebrew word kam or ham, which means hot or from the tropical climate. He's the youngest son, and we'll see that from Ham, well, we'll see in a minute. And Japheth is Japheth. It means, it's from the word that means to enlarge or to expand illegally. But it also means to deceive or to entice. And it's from that Japheth or Japheth that all of who we are came from. All of the Anglo-Saxon races came from. The enticers, the sluts, the spiritual sluts. What?
Gentiles.
Japheth. Everything we do, the best we're capable of is deception.
And the thing about tempting is tempting believers to not believe.
Yeah. Now, Canaan is from the Hebrew word kinan, that means two different things. It can either mean a merchant, like one who buys and sells in the land, or it can mean humiliated or vanquished or brought into subjection. So, you got to remember this, because when we're going through, from now on, when you talk about these guys, you're going to see that the name not only predicted their condition, it predicted their race's condition. Now, the word, therefore, when we have on birth certificates and stuff, where it has the race, it should not have Caucasian or Negroid or Asian or whatever it has. It should have Shem, Ham, or Japheth. Right, there were three different conditions, but they also then had their wives were from three different conditions. And so when you start putting the numbers to it, you can all came up with all kinds of different races and weirdnesses.
You mean they mixed?
They mixed.
Yeah, I was just thinking that quickly that I sit here and I hear you say, well, this name means this. And they turn out to be this, and I go, wow, isn't that something? What a coincidence. But, it's back to when we studied language. I mean, Canaan was called Canaan for a reason.
Amen.
So why is Ham tropical?
Because we'll see that all of the sons of Ham ended up living in a very relatively short distance from the equator. Now it says, these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And then it says, and Noah began to be a husbandman. In other words, he planted a vineyard. This was the first, a husbandman there means a steward of the land. And if you look in the New Testament, you see all these testaments about, or parables about the stewards. Normally, if we were trying to If we weren't so far behind, we'd go read them. Because husbandman or stewardship is the basis for what some 25% of the parables of Christ were about. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. This is the first mention of wine in the New Testament, in the Bible. Wine is the Hebrew word yayin, which means to effervesce. It's the same as the word for, in the New Testament, to effervesce, where it's translated as to prophesy. So to be the wine, it can't be wine unless it's effervescing. You can't be a believer unless you're prophesying. It's impossible. The condition describes itself. If you are quiet, holding things in, not letting anyone know what you're thinking about, what you're really doing is you're making the whore of Babylon your only covering. But on the opposite side, to effervesce, to be open, to commend yourself openly to all men in the sight of God, to be manifestly open, is to have God as your covering. It's as simple as that. There's no one who is quiet by nature. You're quiet by Babylon. Understand? Now, this is the first mention of drunken in the Bible.
Did they have alcohol first?
Huh? Well, we don't know. Doesn't say. We have no way of knowing. No. Now, and it's the first type of Israel's drunkenness and a death faith. That faith which glorifies in self or self-seeking. And that's the whole definition of being drunk on the wine of self-seeking is called being drunk on the wine of Ephraim, who was one of the sons of Jacob. It's to be drunk on the wine of self-seeking. You got to hear that. From now on, that's a predicate in the Bible. Whenever it talks about being drunk, it means that you're consumed with self-seeking. Uncovered. In the Hebrew, it's the word gala, G-A-L-A, gala, and it means to be denuded.
Denuded? Like?
Castrated. Okay.
So why did Cameron do that?
I mean, I don't understand any of that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm lost. Oh, he's trying not to laugh.
I mean, you can think about it, any kind of sibling relationship. I mean, if there were any more children.
Funny you would ask.
There'll be less for me. If there's more children, there'll be less for me.
This here little book is wonderful because it takes all of those books that I have over there and condenses them into little chapter things. So.
Just sort of sit around and read it.
A couple times, yeah. Samael, anybody remember who Samael?
Yeah, I remember
that. Samael's back. Samael is the chief of the fallen angels. Samael, a fallen angel, had come to Noah that morning and asked, "What are you doing?" And he answered, "I'm planting vines." "And what are they?" "The fruit is sweet, whether eaten fresh or dry, and yields wine to gladden man's heart." Samael cried, "Come, let us share this vineyard. But do not trespass on my half, unless I harm you." Noah agreed. Samael then killed a lamb and buried it under a vine. Then he did the same to a lion, to a pig, to an ape, so that his vines drank the blood of all four beasts. The wine, the vine of Samael, drank the wine. Or drank the lamb, the lion, the pig, and an ape. Okay, henceforth, from that time forward, though a man be less courageous than a lamb before he tastes wine, yet after drinking a little, he will boast himself strong as a lion.
And then behave like an ape.
Drinking more, he will become like a pig and soil his own undergarments. And drinking yet more, Drinking yet more will become like an ape and lurch about foolishly, lose his wits, and blaspheme God.
As if wetting his pants weren't bad enough.
So it was with Noah.
Oh, God.
He didn't eat of his wine, he ate of Samael's wine.
So he drank himself.
His wine would only produce prophecy and gladden the heart. Noah's wine.
Did he do it by accident?
No, he did it on purpose.
Why?
He wanted. Samael said he had better wine. Then the others, he just.
Wine tasting
as usual, forbidden grapes.
That's, by the way, the first. Never mind. Some say that.
First what?
First time somebody went ape shit. Okay. Oh, Rick!
Now, some say at the height of his drunkenness, he uncovered himself, whereupon Canaan, Ham's little son, entered the tent and mischievously looped a stout cord about his grandfather's genitals.
Oh, you did what?
Look, you're going to have to stay here if you want to hear that story.
You have to listen. Say that lesson
again. Canaan was in this tent, in Noah's tent, and he mischievously looped a stout cord about his grandfather's genitals and drew it tight and unmanned him. Ham then entered. When he saw what had happened, he told Shem and Japheth, smiling as it were as a jest for idlers in the marketplace, but he earned their curses.
Some jest.
I thought he just circumcised him, but he just whacked.
Others say that Ham himself unmanned Noah, who, awakening from his drunken sleep and understanding what had been done to him, cried, "Now I cannot beget the fourth son, whose children would have been your servants and your brothers. Therefore, it must be Canaan, your firstborn, whom they enslave." Others, however, acquit Ham of any such crime. They say that when Noah was in disembarking on Ararat, the mountain, the sick lion showed base ingratitude by dealing his genitals a blow with its paw, so that he could never again perform the marital act. For this reason, Shem offered the sacrifice in Noah's stead, men who have been thus injured being forbidden to serve at God's altar.
That's weird. Wow. I didn't realize that.
So, Samael makes the wine and tempts him with the wine, and then the son of a fallen angel
denudes him.
So that is some kind of plot, right? Keeping you from having a fourth son, for what purpose?
Because they were convinced that they would be able to deceive these three sons. Mm-hmm. The fourth son, which would have been, in their minds, the son from whom their whole plot was to destroy, could not come.
The fourth son was to be the servant of all?
Right.
They couldn't allow that.
Right. You remember why, in the ancients, the reason that Satan fell, because he refused to worship the child.
He can't be
a servant. He refused to be the servant. Now, that's pretty wild stuff. Okay, this is the first, verse 21. He drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. This is the first prophecy that he would expose the shame or the nakedness of the faithless Israel in or by Canaan. You understand? See what is happening in the type. It was God used Canaan, the residents of Canaan, to expose the faithlessness of Israel. And here he exposed the shame of Israel's father, Noah, by the same way.
Because he was tempted to drink of the demon's wine.
Right.
God must have been really disappointed if
Adam screwed up, and then he thinks he's got this faithful guy. Noah screws up the same way.
Yeah, he saw the movie before it was cast.
He wrote it, didn't
he? He wrote it. Now, the word tent, he was uncovered within his tent. Now, that's important. What?
He financed
it. Within his tent. Tent is the word ohel.
Ohel.
That's probably what he said.
Is that
what
a comment or is that a word?
Noah said ohel.
O-H.
O-H-E-L
is the word for tent. And it was an animal skin. It was the dwelling of nomadic people. He was uncovered. Noah was covered by the skin, but uncovered in the tent. So therefore, he was uncovered, naked, etc., whatever, but covered by the blood of the skin and the type. But when Ham and Canaan went in, they uncovered, they essentially made fun of his uncovered condition. Now, remember, I don't know if I've talked to you about the Zadoks.
No.
The Zadoks were the holy men in Israel who had one function, and that was to repair the Holy of Holies. And they were let down on a pulley kind of arrangement, like window cleaners, but they always had to keep their backs to the ark and to the mercy seat. And so in the spirit, there's a big meaning there, and I'm not sure I understand it all. But the idea that you would uncover someone else's nakedness, it has the same kind of ring as that of somebody that's running around thinking of something that the other guy can give up for Nazarite vow. Do you understand? It's that you are... What happened? Ham went and told of his father's shame, or his father's nakedness, or his father's drunkenness. And I'm sure there was some genetic, who would be the heir, who would have the blessing kind of thing going on here. But fundamentally, the lesson for you to learn tonight is to don't uncover another's nakedness.
Yeah, because it seemed odd to me. I'm sure... in their own tent, people were naked all the time, you know, they're changing their clothes or whatever, you know, it wasn't the fact that he was naked, but that it was someone came in, someone, they were seen, or whatever it was, that it became unnatural or something.
Right, he went and told.
It feels like it's this thing about elevating yourself by
destroying someone else.
Somebody else, putting somebody else.
Yeah, there's a lot of references that we could study, but... Let's go to one. Isaiah 3. Verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover or uncover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments, or the open show, about their feet and their calls and their round tires like a moon. Makeup.
We're looking into the mufflers.
The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, the mantles and the wimples, and the crisping pins.
I guess you gotta know.
The wimples are the head cloths, the turban things. The glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. Instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of a well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and a burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn. She, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. Now, if you could see what he's talking about, and we'll find more when we begin to talk about the jewels that are talked about in the temple, we would see that these are the things that the daughter of Zion is putting on, makeup, to cause her to be attractive in order to gain converts. This, verse 16 through 26, is a picture of evangelical Christianity. Yeah. And it's a picture of you when you begin to be concerned with what someone thinks about you when you speak about this. Yeah. Understand? Now, before the fall, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. After the fall, Ham saw the nakedness of his father and told. Told means is nagad or nagad. It means to announce proudly, to place a matter high or conspicuously before a person. After the fall, nakedness in the Old Testament was always a matter of shame. This is not because of the sex was evil or nakedness was evil. It's because it's the manifest loss of innocence. And it's evidenced by the sin-burdened mind that cannot accept joy. So God never condemned. The Puritans, they set God's stuff back 500 years because they equated, they condemned any kind of sexuality because they missed the point. They thought the evil was the sex. They even thought that the original sin was the sex act. They taught that. So that man, all men were born from fornication or the act of intercourse. That, to them, became the original sin. That was taught. That's what our forefathers believed in America.
A lot of people
still believe it.
To us,
the opposite is true. To us, the fall occurred when man desired to be like God and judge for himself good and evil. He lost innocence. That's the evil. Amen?
Amen. There's a thing, my eyes just happened to see verse 7 of 5 about the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. That really hit me, this thing about a vineyard divided in half, one to a demon.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Man saw the familiar world and spoiled it by the act of seeing it. I want you to hear this. The new modern high energy physicists are right, and that you spoil the experiment by watching it. Man literally degrades nature by the act of observation.
Whoa.
Because he, by definition, projects his own fallen nature on creation. That's why the whole creation is groaning even now. Now, this has massive implications. That you have the possibility, right? You have the certainty of destroying innocence by just looking at it. Go to Titus 1:5. Let's go to Titus real quick. Titus. Just before Hebrews. There really is a Titus.
Yes, there is a Titus.
Everybody find Titus?
It's in the 5 T's.
1241.
The 5 T's. Okay, can everybody name me the 5 T's?
First Thessalonians, top titles.
Okay, where do the 5 T's, what do the 5 T's come after?
Titus.
General
Electric. Philippians. Galatians. Colossians. They came after
Colossians. It's General Electric Power Company, five T's.
What's that, then
Hebrews.
Hebrews.
Okay, we don't confuse them. Just take them to Hebrews. Okay. General Electric Power Company, five T's.
Five T's and one
T. Okay.
Five T's and then the he.
Chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 1, Titus, verse, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not to for filthy lucre's sake, of one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be found or sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. Now hear that. Take away one thing tonight. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience, or conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Okay, that's enough. Take a big guy and we'll help her get in the car.